Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello and welcome to the Gegenpress, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. My name is Andrew Headspeeth and I am joined, as always, to talk to all things Liverpool with Mr. Alex Purdy, toppest of top Reds. Well, toppest of legacy Reds. The legacyest
yeah,
of legacy
still doing
Reds.
That? Yeah, I'll take that, yeah.
And with us always, Emma Sanders. How are you, Em?
Yeah, good. Yeah, nice to be back talking about Liverpool.
Is it?
So. Yeah. We've had the was that an is it from from Perth?
Yeah, we'll find out how this goes.
Yeah, well, so this started really well. Yeah,
it's been 2 weeks. We're rusty. Just enjoy the listen, guys. Come on.
Yeah, we have been off for 2 weeks. So sorry about that, but we're back with a bang now. And I've got written in full caps on the script: is this season a write off? So that's a good start. There are, of course, still 5 games to go. Liverpool do mathematically still have a chance of making the top 4. But it just feels like, and maybe the postponing of the Manchester United game didn't help in that respect, but it just feels like the entire league has just sort of petered out a bit. We know who the champions are going to be. We know who's going down now, pretty much. As I said, there is a chance that we can get top 4, but it doesn't feel like that's a very realistic prospect. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Emma, I'll go to you first.
I knew you were going to come to me first. Liverpool 7 points off the top 4. Chelsea are in the absolute form of their lives, it seems. So I think top 4 is done and dusted, out of the water. I just think they, in terms of looking ahead to next season now, I think they've just got to finish strong, give the fans something to get excited about. And yeah, I know we're going to talk about it later in terms of, you know, potential Europa League. But for me, like, I think it's crucial that they qualify for the Europa League. So 5th place is an absolute must. Anything less than, I think there'll be a lot of drunk people in Liverpool, basically, throughout the summer.
Perds, well, I've got an inkling that you don't share Emma's view there. Europa League, yes or no?
I do, because I keep forgetting there's a Europa Conference League that we can drop even lower into. So we're actually going middle ground here.
It will be the inaugural season of the Conference League. Is that, you know, do we want to be a bit of a part of that history?
No, I never want to be part of that. That's for Tottenham and Arsenal. That's for those lot. we should be aiming higher, but we're dropping well short of that this season. And yeah, I don't think we're going to make the top 4 either.
No, I did see, I think it was the Echo today running a thing where they said that if Chelsea win the Champions League and they're, you know, or they put all their eggs in that basket and their league form might drop off and Liverpool might sneak in. But I just think it's such a big ask, really, like based on what Emma said, it's 7 points. I know we've got a game in hand, haven't we? But
yeah,
7 points, we've still got United to play.
Yeah, I mean, Tottenham as well, they've got such an easy run in.
I think even if Chelsea win the Champions League, though, and they finish outside of the top 4, then they get that 4th Champions League spot. So, like, it would then only be the top 3 spots that would get it. So I think Chelsea winning the Champions League and finishing outside the top 4 is even worse for everyone. So,
Is that right? Is it not 5 anymore, like that time when Liverpool did it? They've changed that, haven't they, I think, possibly.
Yeah, so I've had so many conversations about this. And yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's the top 4 will go to the Champions League, but if the fourth team is a team that finished outside of that but wins the competition, i.e. if Chelsea finished fifth and won the Champions League, then they would qualify as the fourth team. And that fourth place team in the Premier League would drop into the Europa League. So
even if we get top four and Chelsea win the thing.
Exactly.
That's the worst case scenario, isn't it?
I don't want to do it. I don't, just in case.
Europa League, though, I mean, it is a slog, and I don't know whether we need that. But at the same time, you see how much sort of fun Man United are having in it. And I think I saw a stat today. I think it was the last, 10 or something, like Europa League finals that have either been won by a Spanish or an English club, or there's been one in the final or something. But it's just, it seems to be a very winnable competition, especially for the English teams based on their spending power. So I think, yeah, that is a realistic target. It's not the one we wanted at the start of the season, but I guess it's a realistic target going forwards.
Yeah, we have to win it, though, because it leaves us, if we don't, it leaves us wide open to a lot of slaughtering from other fans. If we're in it, we have to win it. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, we're going to be like, Liverpool have finished, they dropped out of the Europa League. So it's basically all or nothing when we enter that, which we will.
We just need to like find some way of like getting Unai Emery as part of like the Liverpool branding, yes, because every time he competes, he wins it. So like, even if he's just like the kit man, like he just needs to be a part of it. So then he can win it. But I'm with Ed. But then I also think Liverpool needs to get back into that sort of frame of mind of competing on several fronts and like just that winning, yep, winning, winning, no matter what the competition is, whether or not it's, you know, UEFA Super Cup or I don't know, Club World Cup, whatever it is.
Super League.
That they just apart from that. whatever it is, I think they just need to get used to sort of like playing, you know, games sort of every 3-4 days and just having that kind of momentum. So Europa League train, let's go.
You mentioned Unai Emery. You know how we sort of, we've got used to seeing cup keepers now. Is it possible we could just get a cup manager and just bring him in for, you know, European games?
Oh my God. That's like probably the best idea you've ever had. Like, wow.
Sounds good to us.
I'll email it in to the club after this.
I'm not sure Emery wants to do that.
But we'll ask him. 10 games a season.
You don't know unless you ask him, yeah? So
exactly.
Andy can be very persuasive. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
True. How I got Emery on this pod, you know?
we won't mention the fact that you basically bribed me. And, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of big European nights, 2 years ago today, this very day, Liverpool beat Barcelona 4-0. I mean, how far we've come, eh? I don't want to dwell on it too much because it just seems a bit sad now. But it was one of the best, well, possibly the best, I don't know, along with the 2005 final. It's probably the best Liverpool game I've seen in my lifetime. Where does it rank for you, Emma?
It's the best Anfield game in my lifetime, definitely.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, I think I've told this story on this actual podcast, but I was in bloody New York, wasn't I? So I was on the subway, listened to it on 5 Live because I couldn't find a pub. And the friends who I was with was a Man United fan, an Arsenal fan, God bless him, and another friend who couldn't care less about football. So I was...
So you were actually on the subway?
On the subway, underground in New York City, trying to hear who the hell scored the goal, because all I heard was like, ah! And I was like, who is it? It took me 5 minutes to realise that Origi had scored. And I was like, oh my God.
Is this goal number 4 or goal number, or just all the goals? Or
This was the Trent corner goal. So,
okay.
No, yeah. The best one.
Best one. So obviously I watched it, you know, it was everywhere in New York. So as soon as I got off the subway, I think we had plans to go somewhere else. I don't know, maybe go for dinner. And I was like, bye guys. And basically legged it to a random bar in Brooklyn. And just basically got pretty much drunk by myself with random New Yorkers. It was pretty awesome. But I did have my shirt with me. I brought my shirt with me. So I was wearing it. And like I say, sort of listening on it. And then I had it all recorded. So I've watched it back. So in terms of like games I've watched, I technically haven't watched it. So
I'd love you. I still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen the goals.
Yeah, wait, we won? Oh my God.
I'm just amazed you managed to get like signal down in the subway.
It was
you don't
cutting
get that
out
on the central line, do you?
Yeah, well, because obviously it goes like part of it sort of, I guess it's a bit like the London like underground, part of it is kind of like technically ground level and some of it's underground, so it was like that's what I mean. So I just about heard like the commentator be like, corner taken quickly here, and I was like, oh my god, what's happening? And then
oh my god,
sort of 2 or 3 minutes later was like, what's this goal? Because I was like, the game's finished. I was like, I thought we were going to extra time, and then obviously put two and two together, and then somebody shouted, you know, Origi, and I was like, Origi.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I pretty much lost my shit on the subway.
Perds, top that story.
No, I can't. I was just at home. The best game I've seen, other than that one, that probably is the best, is the actual final. Because I'd only seen us win the League Cup before that in 2012.
So, such a baby.
Big.
Yeah.
Big, yeah. Cool. So that was all right, wasn't it? Yeah. Got drunk with my dad somewhere in London. Decent.
Nice. And did you go on the underground at any point? You know, just,
no, but I did listen to the Aston Villa 2-1 on the radio. You remember when we scored 2 late goals?
Yes.
So that's the only similar one I can relate to, and that was torture.
I mean, it's pretty much up there. You know, you talk about famous nights, Barcelona, Aston Villa.
Yeah, Villa Park, so.
That's the one.
Hey, I would kill for a last-minute win over Aston Villa at the moment. Really would. All right, well, let's take a quick break there. And when we come back, we will look ahead to the game against Southampton this weekend. Welcome back, guys. Just before we jump into previewing the game against Southampton, I did see today in the news that, I don't know if you guys have seen this, Jamie Carragher's son is close to signing for Everton. I mean, Emma, you're a proper journalist. Have you seen this? What's going on here?
You always say that. We're all journalists now. Carry on. Sorry.
We'll go to the fan view from you, Perds, in a minute. But I just wanted to get to a professional here for a second. So if you just
fine. Okay. Just I'll be quiet. On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Perds. Can we have a little bit of manners?
The adults are talking.
Please?
Yeah.
I actually didn't see it until you sent over the plan, and then obviously, you know, I like to think that I saw it then, otherwise I'd be really massively unprepared for this podcast. I wasn't surprised because Everton's youth setup has always been very good. Obviously Jamie Carragher was an Everton fan growing up, so it's probably gone through his family. I feel like this is quite common with, like, especially sort of Manchester players and Liverpool players, because the academies are so kind of similar and both have like successful youth setups in both cities and they're so close as well.
The catchment areas just overlap, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's quite normal, really. So, I mean, you know, he could end up playing for Blackburn, Oldham. He could go round the sort of northwest area until he becomes a Liverpool legend at the age of 19. So you never know.
Love it. But he's 18 now and he's just been at Wigan as part of their like scholarship. But yeah, it's weird. It seems weird to me that Jamie Carragher has a son who is like now like first team professional footballer age, is like could potentially be playing in the Premier League in the season or two time. Mm. I don't know. Maybe Percy seems more of a pundit to you, but he still seems like he's basically still a playing age to me, Jamie Carragher.
Playing age? No way. How old is he?
I don't know, is he 40, maybe?
It just the grey hairs coming through now, there's a lot of them.
That's
I don't
true.
Think he can step on the field anymore. what I would say about...
Do you remember him as a player? I was just going to say.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him smashing the post on his last game against QPR.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being really gutted that didn't go in. That's about it. And then there were some terrible defensive errors when we brought in the likes of Kolo Touré for a bit, and who else did he play with?
Sebastian Coates.
Yeah.
It's a shame that his and Gerrard's last years were really not very good at all. But yeah.
So not really. I don't remember ever being too impressed by him. Just going to throw that out there from what I saw.
Wow.
Anyway. But obviously I caught the back of his career.
Yeah, geez.
There was that one in the Everton semi-final of the FA Cup. He like kicks Skirtle when they score. I can't remember. Anyway,
he was very. I just clarify that he was genuinely a very, very good defender.
Was he? All right.
Yeah, yeah.
First, I'm hearing
very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
It's like, what about all-time top appearance makers, Fred? Wow, that's rocked me a little bit. But yeah, I was going to ask, which Liverpool player do you expect to have a really brilliant footballing son eventually? We're seeing now a lot, well, at least I am, and I guess Emma is as well, players that we remember playing. Now their children are coming through as well. You know, I don't know if there's anyone you see on the horizon you expect them to. For me, it's Xabi Alonso. I know he's got a son, and he just seems like he's going to have a very like talented footballing son.
And he'll have like the best suits, the best, like he'll just be so professional.
The best hair,
like,
everything.
Yeah. Oh, he'll just be amazing. well, I wasn't sure whether you meant current or like ex, but I was thinking like, for me, I always think of like Alonso is a fantastic shout, but I always think players who are just technically gifted. So probably somebody like a Coutinho. I think his kid would have, you know, very good technical ability. So I'm gonna go with Philip.
Yeah, I'll say along the same lines, probably Joe Allen. Quite technically.
Yeah.
Little wee Joe Allen walking around the park.
But it's kind of like players like that. Like nobody expected Alfinger Haaland's son to be the absolute monster world beater that he is. So, you know, you never know. Maybe it'll be Salif Diao Jr. that we're all
raving about. Oh, I'm really excited.
Hey, that's one to look forward to. anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. So look out for James Carragher Jr. in the Everton first team in a couple of years' time. But before all that happens, we have got a game for the first time in 2 weeks. Seems like a rarity now, and they don't really matter, but still, we're going to finish the season. And Southampton at Anfield on Saturday at 8:15. It looks like, other than the obvious ones of Van Dijk, Gomez, Henderson, everybody is more or less fit for this game. I mean, I've said already that this season has sort of petered out a little bit and we don't necessarily expect that the top four is on. Having said that, what do we want to see? I mean, what would cheer us all up in this game? Herds, what are you looking for?
Ben Davies, do you remember him? Maybe quite nice.
No, I don't remember him. Minutes. I've literally never seen the man.
No, but I'd quite like to see him.
He doesn't exist. Like, he doesn't actually exist.
Well, that's what would cheer me up, if he just strolled out for 5 minutes at the end as we're sort of drawing 0-0. And it finishes that way. We'll probably draw this game.
Your highest hopes for this game are a 0-0.
He sees out a 0-0 clean sheet with 5 minutes to go. Yeah.
Wow.
You've just made me think of like the end of Fight Club, where it turns out he was just a figment of the imagination. You know,
such Tyler an anti-guy, Durden.
Yeah,
good memory.
Spoilers there for Fight Club, but yeah, you should have seen it already by now. Emma, what are your sort of expectations or hopes for this game? What do you want? I mean, Southampton have been dreadful of late, so I mean, this would be the perfect game just to get sort of back on track with a very comfortable home win.
Yeah, my standards are higher than Perd's, I think quite normal. by the way, I only watched Fight Club like a month ago. Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched it during lockdown. I mean, I watched it about 10 o'clock at night, which was a bad idea. I just finished a shift. I was knackered, and I was like, I thought it was like meant to be funny, and I was like, oh, this is quite deep. Yeah, it was. Not the experience I was expecting.
Is it one of the ones where you knew, like everyone knows the twist in The Sixth Sense? Did you like go in knowing what was going to happen, or were you still blown away?
No, that's what I mean. Like, I had no idea. I genuinely thought it was like a full-on comedy and was like, oh, okay, this is amazing. Not what I thought it was. So no, it was good. But I just think I wasn't mentally prepared. So at the time, I probably didn't appreciate it. But Fight Club. So we're talking about Liverpool, Southampton.
That's all we need to say, I think. Yeah.
I think, like I said before, I think it's so important that they finish on a high. So I don't really care how they win, to be honest, but I just think Liverpool need a win. Just get a win going into that Man United game on Thursday, because there'd be nothing worse than getting battered by Man United before they play in a Europa League final. So get a win under their belts, get a bit of momentum and get a bit of confidence. That's all I want.
I mean, Southampton do have form for it, so I'm kind of hoping for a nice, simple, no-frills 9-0, maybe. Perz, you fancy that?
If we take our chances, you know, it could be 9-0. Yeah. The Newcastle game should have been 9-0, but we won't. So we might scrape two at, you know, at most, you might get two and then hope for a clean sheet.
I'll come on to predictions in just a second, but before we do, I just want to ask what the hell has happened to Takumi Minamino? Went out on loan to Southampton in January. He started quite well. He got a goal and played quite well, quite brightly for the first month or so, but he's totally dropped off the radar. I don't think he's even getting picked anymore. Southampton in terrible form. It's not looking good for him. Perz, do we expect him to come back, or is he going to be a sort of cut our losses kind of jobby? What do you think is going to happen?
I remember you saying at the time, whenever Klopp sends someone out on loan, it's basically done. So he really needed to shine. And we were like, he got a couple of goals at the start, like you said. It's like, oh, he might actually get back on Klopp's good books, but this is probably too far now. I think, unfortunately, he has to go.
He always looked like a very good technical player as well. I mean, from what I saw of him at Salzburg, and he has the makings of someone I imagine would go to the Bundesliga or somewhere else and do very well. But it hasn't clicked so far here in England, Emma.
Yeah, I think he always struggled with the physicality of it, didn't he? And probably perhaps his character, personality just struggled to settle. I think, as we said at the time, you know, somebody like Jürgen Klopp sending him out on loan after such a short space of time, probably there was clearly something quite sort of alarm bells in Jürgen Klopp's eyes where he was thinking, you know, he's either not settling in terms of his character, or he's just, he's not, you know, he's not there physically. So he's gone to Southampton and again has struggled to settle there. So I don't know. It must be really difficult. He's travelled a long way during a pandemic. He's away from friends, went away from family. It's such a different culture. And I just personally just think he just hasn't settled in England. So yes, it wouldn't surprise me if he was to move on.
The way they raved about him when he first signed, and I remember like that story about how the players after the Salzburg game like were telling Klopp to sign him because of the way he ran the show. And I just wonder whether he might be one of those ones that we let go because basically we have to, like you said, that he hasn't settled, it's just not working. But that maybe there are some regrets in a few years' time. I mean, maybe not the levels of sort of Chelsea with De Bruyne and Salah, but the way you've seen that players like Luis Alberto and Suso and Iago Aspas even that have like gone on to like better things and much better form in the future. To me, he strikes me as one of those, and I would like to see him maybe give another chance in the first team next season just to see if he does settle. But again, yeah, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. And I just wish him all the best, really, because he looks like a lovely young man. Very handsome as well, I think.
Yeah, very, very cute. But it's like just kind of on sort of loan players is that you look at somebody like Minamino, and I know, like you say, it'd be nice to see him given a chance, but then I look at someone like Harry Wilson, who's gone out on loan and impressed everywhere he's been. Like, then I would rather, and he's, you know, a homegrown talent, I would rather him given an opportunity ahead of Minamino personally. So it's an interesting one.
I agree. And then there's Harvey Elliott as well, who looks like he might get thrown into the first team next season as well because of how well he's done at Blackburn. Let's just jump straight to predictions here then, Emma. What are you saying for Southampton? It's got to be a home win, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't see anything past a Liverpool win personally. I actually think they'll get a few goals. I'm gonna go with 3-1. I reckon Southampton might knit one, but yeah, 3-1 for me.
Perz, come on, do it. Say a win.
Come on, Perz.
Yeah, a win, a 2-0, but a boring 2-0 and a painful 2-0.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fine. We'll all take that then.
I think we'll have been invigorated by the break. I think it'll be a chance. Purdy's shaking his head at me, so I'm just going to block him out of my vision. I think, yeah, invigorated by the two-week break. You know, Southampton are in absolutely dreadful form. It's a good team for us to play right now at home. I'm going to say 5-0. There you go.
What?
Andy jinxed it, for God's sake.
I think we might finish the season weird. I don't think we'll get top four, but I think we might finish the season weirdly strongly now. Perhaps Man United game aside, but yeah, it's starting now, guys. Starting now. Here we go. Comeback's on.
We go again.
We go again. Yes. And we will be back again, hopefully on Monday at the regular time. And hopefully to talk through that 5-0 win. But for now, that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening. If you can, please drop the Gegenpress Pod a review wherever you get your pods. That'd be much appreciated. subscribe if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter, all that stuff. Drop us a message. Maybe we'll read it out on the next show. And yeah, I mean, that's it. Perds, say goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you next time.
And goodbye from Emma. Say goodbye.
Have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Love that. It's sort of like almost mum style sign off, just like waving people away. Bye. Yeah. Goodbye from me. Come on, Liverpool. 5-0. It's on. Goodbye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.